It is wonderful to be able to sing about a Savior. We really truly have a reason to sing. He's put a song in my heart. So if you would, again, tonight we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we began this morning to look at two of the stages of Abraham's life of faith. And I say Abraham's life of faith, but it can be ours too. It's just an example for us to see what we have in Christ. And it's so wonderful. It's kind of a scary path unless we have faith. And then we trust in Him, and He does all things well. I say sometimes, like as we sing, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. So we'll read Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 8. And then we'll read verse 9, 10, 12, and 17 to 19. So verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And then verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. So as we started to do this morning, we looked at the two first stages of the life of faith of Abraham, and we compared it with the Hebrews, with the when it happened in the book of Genesis, and to see there the lessons that we can learn from these things. So we first of all, we looked this morning in verse 8 as the fact that Abraham forsook all for God. And it was a choice for him, like, and we mentioned about that, how that he left what he was outside of Christ, outside of God, what he was in himself, to become what God would make of him. And we compare that to salvation for us, like what we were in Christ, in Adam, we forsake that to be in Christ, what we will be for all eternity. And I feel very secure to say that when we get to heaven and we ask Abraham if he was glad for his choice, and I would be 100% sure that he would say for sure, for sure. And those of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can too testify that it's been the better choice to do. And then we looked at the fact that in verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise, the land that he was supposed to receive for an inheritance. He was pleased to dwell in that land as a stranger and pilgrims, not claiming any rights, not claiming anything for himself. So this, we saw, was to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deny self, which will always stand in the way of us walking in this life of faith, of walking for the Lord Jesus Christ. There can't be two on the throne. It's either the Lord or self. But Abraham, here we see that he chose to leave the Lord on the throne and not to claim anything for himself, living as a stranger in that land of promise. So tonight, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to look at the fact that having done that, and these stages in life, you don't step to the, or you don't jump to the third one. You have to go through them in a sequel, and the first one leads to the second one, and the second one to the third one, and the third one to the fourth one. And the third one is he finds his all in God. So he finds his all in God. And this is verse 10 and 12. And this is the reason why he was satisfied to deny self, because he was looking for something better, as we see. For he looked for a city, in verse 10, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And this is what he was looking for. And so this is included in faith. You know, when we leave this old life that we had outside of Christ and we choose to receive his salvation, to come to him to save us from our sins, and we forsake everything to him, we leave it into his hands, and we do not try to get what we think is right for us, we leave it with him. Then eventually, as Abraham had this experience, he found his all in God. And that's a wonderful thing. And as we were singing those choruses, and you know, like, there's joy in singing these things. Why? Because it talks about our Lord. It talks about our hope. It talks about what he has done for us. And this is wonderful. But this is included. This is what God has in view for us. This is what he wants for us, that we would enjoy this life of faith. It's not Christianity. It's not something that you have to go through as a duty. It's a wonderful life. It's a life that's worth living for. And it's a life that will last for all eternity. You know, when people seek their own interest, if they get it, then that's all they will get. They'll get just their own interest if they get it. But because we don't always get it, even if we seek our own interest, we don't always get it. Because you have to fight for it, and sometimes there might be people who are a little bit stronger, and we can't be the match for them. But those who seek the interest of the Lord first, and that's a big thing, isn't it? To seek the Lord's interest first, you know what the Lord says? The rest will be added unto them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and some of these things, no, and all these things will be added unto you. It's wonderful, isn't it? To know that the Lord will take care. The Lord will look after my needs. He will do that. That we're not to be worried about that, because that would be time not very well spent, you know, worrying about our needs and all these things. But he says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And we find that to be true, don't we, in our lives? When we give him the first place and we seek his interest first and we want his glory and we want our life to count for him, for his glory, then he will eat and will do what we need to do, and we'll have a roof over our head and all the things that we need. The Lord will take care of that. So he doesn't want us to be occupied with these things. He wants us to be occupied with him, to keep our minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. This is what's important. But we cannot receive these things until we have in our circumstances left everything into the hands of the Lord. And this is what Abraham did. And then he finds this reward. And we'll look at Abraham's reward, a great reward. Like we read about it sometimes, you know, as we read in the book of Genesis, and we think of it. But tonight I'd like for us to be able to see the scope of the extension of that blessing that God gave a man in time and very long time ago. And we're still seeing the benefit of it today and into eternity. It's amazing. Like when you stop, I don't know if Abraham could grasp or could foresee the extension of that great blessing that, you know, having forsook all for God and having forsaken all to God and looking to find his all in God, I don't think he realized how great this would be, finding his all in God. And again, we're talking about the life that he wants for us. This is not only for Abraham, but it is for us also. Abraham refused what the world had to offer. He said no to it. Like that's not what he was looking for. I would say to you that he refused it because it was not enough. He was looking for more than that. And with the Lord, we can. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God himself. So he was looking bigger than what the king of Sodom could offer or the world could offer in riches. It says in Genesis 14 and 21, and the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for thyself. So that's after he had gone to battle those kings who had defeated the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the people that were there. And he said to Abram, he said, give me the person and take all the goods. Well, in a way, they were Abraham's. When he won the battle, it was his. And he said, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Like, what are you talking about? Like a few goods from the earth here? He says, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Like Abraham says, I'll be rich, but not with these things. It's not going to come from you. I'm looking for greater riches than that. You know, that this is so wonderful. I read one time, and I don't know if I'll quote it properly, just out of memory. It said, to the Christian who enjoys heaven, you could offer the world, he despises it. He's found something much better than what this world can offer. And that is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so wonderful. And that's why Abraham, he didn't want the blessing from the king of Sodom. He wanted the blessing from the Most High God. And we know that just before he met the king of Sodom, he met another king, Melchizedek, who came to him and spoke to him of the Most High God. And Abraham said, well, that's what I want. I want to find my all in God. I forsook all for God, and I forsook all to him. It's all in his hands, but I want to find my all in him. That's what I want. I don't want anything else. I want him, and I want all that I have. I want that to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is wonderful. Genesis 14 and 19 says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. That's what Melchizedek said to Abraham. So, you know, if you're blessed with that, you don't need the blessings of this world or whatever they call blessing. We've got so much better than that. And that's what is the Christian life. People say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not allowed to go here or you're not allowed to go there. No, it's not that we're not allowed. It's that we just found better than all these things. And that we don't want those things. That they're not satisfying anymore for me. And we're just talking with Brother Jacques. We're talking about the Rolling Stone, and they're in their 70s. I thought they might have been a little bit younger, and they're still singing about there's no satisfaction. And they keep on going. But those of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, those things don't appeal to us anymore. I remember they came to Moncton, and you wouldn't go out of your way to see them. But there was a sister that gave them both a Bible. So that's really encouraging. You would have found satisfaction in the Bible looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Abraham didn't want those. He wanted to be blessed of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. The rewards of the Lord are so great. So great. It's so wonderful. It's so great, in fact, that we cannot even imagine. Well, it says about heaven that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has never come up to the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You know, I wouldn't be able to explain to you tonight what heaven's going to be like. In fact, sometimes the Bible shows us more what won't be there. The things that make us unhappy won't be there. But what will be there? Well, it's the Lord Jesus. And I can tell you one thing. You're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to be disappointed. It's going to be so far greater. But look, in Genesis chapter 15, It says there, after these things, what things? Well, after Lot was rescued from the kings that had overcome him with all his goods, and after all that happened with the... It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. You know, the Lord gives us encouragement as we go along. As we walk in his light, as we walk by faith, the Lord gives us encouragement to go on, and that's so wonderful. It says to him, fear not. Like he's rejected the blessings of the king of Sodom, and he wants to be blessed of the Most High God, and he says, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Isn't that wonderful? He finds his all in God. Like he says, I don't want those things. Like, I want my Lord. And the Lord says, fear not, Abraham. You've made a good choice. Like, you've chosen the right thing. Like, I am going to be your shield and your exceeding great reward. I could use the word exceeding, and I wouldn't mean much, but when God uses the word exceeding, like the one who's able to do all things, you know, and things that we can't even imagine, when he uses the word exceeding, I can tell you it's going to be exceeding. And then he says, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, thou hast given no seed. Well, the Lord had promised the seed, didn't he? And sometimes, like, we find, like, maybe the Lord is a little bit later than we would like him to be. But he's never too late. He's never too late. Like, it seemed in that case that it was going to be too late. But it's never too late for the God who is outside of time. He doesn't see things as we see. And it says, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Imagine, like, he comes outside and he sees the sky and he sees all the stars there, and it is immense, isn't it? And he says, try to count them, and this will be thy seed. Like, not your servant, but one out of your own bowels, like your seed will be as innumerable as the stars that are in the sky. So that's in heaven. So that's amazing, isn't it? Again, I don't know how much Abraham could get out of this, you know, like he's thinking of children in his family, but the blessing goes way beyond that, and that's what we will see. So Abraham's reward is so much greater than he could have ever imagined, and that's the same thing for us. Galatians, many years later, Galatians 3:16, Paul says, now to Abraham and his seed. Still talking about that promise? Well, yeah, for sure, because it's still in the coming. It's still in the making. And he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this is the seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, coming into this world to redeem us from death and sin and to give us a life, an eternal life. It's amazing because it says in Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been saved from your sins, you were part of that promise. Imagine, you know, like, what will it be? Well, it's the population of heaven that is the blessing that was promised to Abraham that day when the Lord spoke to him and told him, look in the sky, look in heaven, and if you can count the stars, then this is what your seed will be like. It's amazing. Like, I don't know that. I know he was looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. But I don't know if he could see all that. Like, as we have come through the years and now we can see a little bit more, we see how many people that have been saved. And Abraham is called the father of all believers. But think of when we're going to be in heaven and all those that will be there redeemed. That's the blessing. It's not only like children, but it's redemption. We've become children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, having received him as our Savior. So hear what God was talking about to Abraham. It was the whole plan of redemption for mankind. It's amazing that when we think about that, he's talking to one man who's chosen to forsake all for God and has forsaken all to God, and he wants to find his all in God, and God is saying, here, that's what I'm giving you. That's what I'm giving you. And again, like this is we're addressed to Abraham, but what about us? You know, this is written for us too. The life of faith is a wonderful one. Like I'm sure if I could bring it out to you in such a way tonight, like you know, it would change our lives. We wouldn't be the same anymore. And we'd live so, and I'm talking to myself also, you know, like how foolish sometimes that we are not living even more for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done so much for me. So here, the blessing that he's talking to Abraham about is the population of heaven. It's God's plan of redemption. You know what? We were singing about it tonight, and it gives us joy in our hearts, doesn't it? But think of when we are there in front of him, and he is in the midst of the throne. Don't you think? I can tell you one thing. I'll sing much better than I do now, and because I'll be... my whole being will be to him, and that's what we should be right now. So really, what the Lord is talking about to one man here of faith is the access to the redemption, because he is the father of all believers. Imagine to be called that, the father, and even his seed is the Lord Jesus Christ and those that are in Christ. We are the seed of Abraham. Like the people of Israel could claim to have Abraham as a father, but we can too. They may have him as a father in the physical sense, which is much less. So if the Israelites don't realize that he can be their father in a spiritual sense, as they would come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're missing out. They're missing out big time on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's our privilege. But the guarantee for that promise, and I mentioned this morning that the blessing of God in the Scripture is always a condition to the obedience. But when it comes to this one, the condition of obedience is not on me, because we fail. None of us can say we are obedient enough to keep the blessing, but this is on the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's obedient. He's been obedient unto death, and there's no failing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, when he wants to give us something of this magnitude, he has to be the guarantor of this. Otherwise, we'd have no assurance. We'd have no security. And Abraham saw at night his vision, and the Lord told him to take animals and to part them and to separate the parts of the animals. And this was a way of making a covenant in those days, like you would, both of you, as you made a covenant, would walk in the middle of these animals that were parted to conclude the covenant. But this time Abraham is not going to go through. It's a furnace of fire. When it got dark, it was a furnace of fire, and it's God himself that went through, because Abraham, there was no room for Abraham. It was just God, and this is wonderful, isn't it? If we had anything to do with it, it would be sad, wouldn't it? Because we know we would fail, and this is the history of man. But there's one thing, all this, it says after these things, it was after that Abraham went to rescue Lot. You know, in the As we mentioned this morning, like, he could have said, well, he made his bed, let him lay in it. That's what he chose. He wanted to be in Sodom. Well, he lost everything. But because he went, because he was his brother, and he took his brother's interest, the Lord blessed him. Just like Job. You know, when Job, he had pretty good friends, didn't he? They came and accused him of sin hidden in his life, and quite an encouragement when you're down and sick and losing everything. There's people like that, and it's very encouraging. They might as well not come at all. But when, after all was said and done, and the Lord had vindicated his servant Job, then he said that to Job to pray for his friends. And Job prayed for them. And when Job prayed for them, the Lord said that if it wasn't for the fact that Job had prayed for them, he would not even have anything to do with them. But it says that when Job prayed for his friends, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. You know, there's a deliverance in that. You know, and taking her brother's interest, the Lord gave him, after these things, the Lord gave him these great reward. So, I don't know if, I was trying to get us to see a little bit the scope of that blessing, you know, how it goes beyond boundaries, it goes beyond imagination, it goes beyond whatever a man could fathom at this stage. And yet, I would say that we can't even comprehend the whole scope of the blessing that was promised to Abraham when the Lord said that he would make his seed as the stars in the sky, in the heaven. So, but faith goes on. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? Like, we seems to be pretty good so far when we see what he finds in God. But it goes on, and each stage brings us to the next one. And then, because we just keep going with the Lord. And as we advance in our Christian life, in our life of faith, it's getting always a little bit harder, but more and more exciting and greater. So now he finds that he's going to yield all to God. Verse 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. According to that, what God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So, you know, it says, somebody said like one time, when you have learned to walk on water, you don't need a boat anymore. And this life of faith, like as you learn to depend on God, and there's one thing with God, like he's always faithful. And that when we can't trust him, just let's look back in our life and count how many times the Lord has been unfaithful to us. I never was able to find one time. Oh, in a sense, it would make me feel good if one time he was unfaithful. I could say, well, Lord, remember that time? We can't even use that. Like, he's always been faithful. And he brings us to greater and greater trials, in a sense, being tested. But we can rest more and more on him. And this time, Abraham, he's going to yield all to the will of God. God has promised the seed. There was a time when he tried to make that work himself. How could God do that? Well, his wife said, well, what about the servant here? She'll give you a child and then a son, and then this will be the fulfillment. We're going to help God a little bit with this thing. And Abraham was no better than her. Like, he thought, well, this might have been a good arrangement to help God to be faithful. that's sad, isn't it? Well, we see what happened with that. But this time, he's tried. And Abraham doesn't need to know how it's going to happen. He doesn't need to know that. He doesn't need to try to make it work. God has promised out of that seed, that child that was born miraculously out of time, this child, he would give him a seed which would be innumerable like the stars of heaven. And he doesn't need to know how it's going to happen. He only has to act. It makes it a lot easier, doesn't it, when we can trust. And the Lord says to do something, and I have no clue how it's going to end up. I don't know what, but I know for sure He wants me to do it. I don't have to try to make it work or work it out in my mind. It's a lot simpler if we just obey. And all He had to do, all that Abraham had to do, was to just to act in obedience. He didn't understand, but he knew one thing. There was a promise that was made with that son, and God would fulfill His promise. How? He's able. And having learned to trust in God, like he was at this point, he was able to live it with Him. It was not his problem to make it work out. It was God's problem. God, what we can't do, God can do it. We only have to do what we can. That's what the Lord asks of us, just to step out in faith, just to trust His word, just to go in and just to obey what He says, and we'll see what He will do with the situation. So it wasn't His problem to make it work, as it was in the case of Hagar. He only had to walk in faith. But in verse 17, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." And if Isaac was born out of time, imagine if he had to have another one. So he was even older at this point, and his wife too. So he had to offer up his son, and that's what he did. Like he just went, and according to what God had asked him. So what he could not do, God could do it. And Abraham was secure in this. He had the faith that God would fulfill His promise. The promise was made, and the callings and the election of God is without repenting. God will do what He says He would do. So verse 19, it says, accounting that God was able to raise him. See, he's starting he depends now on God. Before, like, he would depend on himself some, but now accounting, like in his books, he could see, well, God is able. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So he says, if he has to die, then he can bring it up. He can bring him back. And God can do that. In Genesis 22, he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So he's saying, we're going to go, and I and the lad, and we will come back. He knew he would come back with him because he trusted God. And even like the lad, his son was asking, and asked Abraham, he said, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb." When Isaac said, "Like we, here's the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb for the offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. And in verse 12 it says, "And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Here we see that there was a ram there provided to take the place of Isaac. But really, in the greater picture, God provided Himself a lamb. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He took our place and on the cross to deliver us from our sins. So when we look at that, in yielding his son to the Lord, did he lose his son? You know, and that's the thing, like we don't want to yield because we're afraid the Lord's going to take it away. We don't want to yield things to the Lord because we're afraid that we're going to be missing them. Well, Abraham did not lose his son by yielding him to the Lord, but he saw his son multiplied, the seed that the Lord had promised to him. Just like the little boy, you know, when the Lord wanted some food for the crowds that were there listening to him, and there was a little boy there that had a lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And this little boy gave his lunch. He yielded his lunch to the Lord. And if I was to ask you tonight, do you think that little boy went hungry? Not at all. Like his lunch fed the multitude that were there, and there were some left over. So the little boy was satisfied too. The little boy didn't go back home hungry. And whatever we yield to the Lord, we're not going to lose it. We like to hold on to things. But when we yield it to the Lord, we're not going to lose it. But we're going to see it multiply because the Lord's going to use it and bless many people. And he blesses us too with it. So wonderful, isn't it? This little boy, imagine this little boy just hiding in a corner somewhere, eating his lunch because nobody else has any food, trying to enjoy it. But he just yielded it to the Lord. And the Lord used that. And I look forward to see that little boy in heaven. But it's the same for us. You know, whatever we have, if we leave it to the Lord, then we're not going to go hungry. We're not going to miss anything. And the Lord will use it. He will multiply it and bless all, and he will bless us with it also. What a wonderful thing, isn't it, to have that. And in Genesis 22, he says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Imagine, like he was blessed, but all the nations of the earth, and here we are tonight, and we're blessed because of that. We come into that blessing too, and we can enjoy that blessing. And the word says that this is where he was justified by works. This is at the moment when he offered up his son. James tells us that he was justified by works. This was way after he was justified by faith, when he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So when people say, you know, well, we're justified by works also, well, that justification came way after he was justified by faith, way after he was saved. And it's the same for us. You know, we are justified by our works, but after we are saved, because we don't do the works before we're saved. And so it was his faith that was portrayed in that we now are able to see that Abraham had faith. You know, this is the proof that he had faith. He was able to yield the son of the promise to God and to offer him up in obedience to God, knowing that God was able to raise him from the dead, and he received him in a figure. He didn't have to die and be raised, but he could have. And then all the nations of the earth have been blessed, and we've been blessed in this. Wonderful thing, isn't it? James says, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And this is how this world will be able to see what it is, the life of faith. Because they won't read it in the Word of God, but they can see it. As we go through these stages, the same stages that Abraham went through, to forsake all for God, to forsake all to God, to find our all in God, and then to be able to yield everything to God for his honor and for his glory and for our blessing and abroad. So it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when we think of that? And it's easy to talk about that, but what is it like in my life? And I would ask the question, where am I at what stage am I in my life of faith? Am I going backwards or am I pressing forward? And the difference will be that we'll either gain or lose for eternity. So may the Lord encourage us, you know, to realize, this is the time to realize that. This is the time to enjoy this life of faith. And this is the time to look for our all in God. Those of us who have forsaken all for God, and then we forsake all to God, and we find our all in God, and then we yield everything to God. And on that day, you know what day I'm talking about, when we meet Him face to face. Imagine, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those of us who remain for His coming, we will be changed. But the dead, well, we will not prevent them. We'll not go ahead of them. They will rise first, incorruptible. Think about that day, you know, when we are changed and we put on immortality, and then we're going to dwell with the Lord forever and ever. What about this life? What would be important then? It's only what will be done for Christ. And may we be encouraged and grasp that a little bit so that we can show it forth in our lives. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You so much. If the blessing of Abraham was so much greater than he could have ever imagined, as we see the fulfillment in the making, and that we look forward to even so much greater when we come to eternity, Father, we pray that we might grasp a little bit of what it means to follow Thee in this life of faith. Oh, Father, it is scary for the flesh, but it is so wonderful spiritually, and the rest that we find in Thee. Father, we ask Thy blessing upon each one of us tonight, and we pray, Father, that Thy word would have its way with us as we look forward to that day when face to face, no more, Father, will we have to try to grasp these things, but we will see them and enjoy them, and we'll say, the half had not been told. Father, we thank Thee, asking Thy blessing now in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much. And I wonder if we could sing again that first hymn. It's one of my favorite. All who can cheer the heart like Jesus by His presence all divine. Number 65. True and tender, pure and precious, who how blessed to call Him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Number 65, and the meeting will be over.